next curve.
Welcome and happy new year, everyone. This is Leonard Lee of Next Curve, and thank you for joining today's Rethink webcast, the first of 2019. In this session, we will provide our review and insights from CES 2019, which was held from the 6th to the 11th of January of this year. So happy new year. I have Akshay Sharma, Next Curve principal, joining me today. Happy
new year. Okay, Leonard, how you doing? Happy new year.
Why don't we get into it? Let's talk about the event. This was your first, right, Akshay? What did you think?
The first one that I've been there physically, although I've been tracking it over the years, as you know, as an analyst. So it was humongous. Oh my God. I mean, it's like five conferences packed into one.
Yeah. And you and I walked a combined 60 miles over the course of 6 days. And as you said, it's a very large event that spans a number of different facilities, including the Las Vegas Convention Center, the Sands Expo, the Venetian, Aria, Mandalay Bay. So we were racing all over the place to cover CES 2019 this year. And what we ended up doing is spending quite a bit of time again this year at Eureka Park. We scanned no less than 800 startup companies, and we found a couple of gems that we're going to share with you today. We had at least 150 interactions with various companies. We'll share some of the insights that we got from press events that we attended, as well as briefings that we have. There were 12 press events that we attended at CES on Sunday and Monday. They have these special events for industry analysts as well as press. And this year, we were able to attend and got some great stuff out of those sessions. Let's talk about the research topics that we covered at this year's event. There was a lot of stuff that we were covering in our agenda, and we hit on most of these points, didn't we, Akshay?
Exactly. And if you include the vehicles as an auto mobile device, we definitely saw a whole slew of futuristic car platforms, which are going to transform how we move, how we go to work and whatnot.
I think we saw progression of trends that we saw last year, especially new mobility, right? These new mobile form factors that are going beyond what we traditionally think of in terms of personal transportation, which is the car or a truck or a bus or what have you. So these new paradigms for transportation that I think we were very excited about last year, but this year there's been an explosion of offerings and thinking, which was really great to see. So let's talk about our discussion agenda for today. What we'll do is we'll walk you through our six key takeaways and insights from the event. And then what Akshay and I will do is we will provide you with our personal top picks for CES 2019. And then finally, we'll wrap things up with our predictions for 2020. And also maybe look back at what we predicted for 2019 and see how well we did. Let's start here with number one, which is AI is everywhere, moving from the cloud to the device, thanks to silicon. We've noticed AI is arriving on the device, thanks to what chip manufacturers are doing and device manufacturers like Apple are doing by embedding neural processors or NPUs into their chips, which then reside on the devices that they build. So an example would be the Apple Bionic chip, which is a neural processing unit that's incorporated into the A series chips from the last couple of years. You also see Huawei with their Kirin 970 chip, as well as their most recent 980 chip. Now you have Qualcomm also, which announced with its Snapdragon 855 chip that they have pushed out a neural processing unit in that offering as well. And while we see Google and AWS implementing cloud-based or cloud-centric AI services, we're also seeing many of the device manufacturers just continue to embed AI locally on the device. And this is an increasing pattern that we're seeing across the board.
I fully agree. In fact, I think this is going to change some of the 5G architectures when a lot of the smarts are in the device itself, including autonomous cars. You know, why right. Do you need to trombone back to the cloud and back? Exactly. Even though it's low latency, it still is better if it's on board in the chip itself or in the vehicle itself.
The next takeaway is robots are the future of autonomy and the nexus of AI, sensors, and emotional design. One of the things that we saw this year was several companies offering emotional sensing capabilities. So one example is Panasonic, where they showcased an in-car sensor that could read your emotional state, your state of awareness, and determine, are you in a proper condition to be driving. So if your attention gets distracted, the car can actually sense that and then either respond with some sort of haptic or vocal cue. But this is an interesting development because, you know, we've gone from facial recognition type functions, but then going to the next level of analytics where they're analyzing your facial expressions to determine your mood or your state of awareness. We're also seeing a slew of utility robots that are starting to use LiDAR and computer vision. And this is interesting because this is one of the predictions that, Akshay, I think you made last year, is that LiDAR is going to start to make its way into some of these autonomous robots that provide utility and services. They're using this LiDAR technology and computer vision to sense and navigate through their physical environment. And we saw several samples of that, right?
Exactly. In fact, one of the vendors that we highlighted last year at CES, LetterTech, was pleased to see they had a huge booth. And it was pretty impressive that this was a company that put LiDAR on a chip and then brought the form factor and price down to literally tens of dollars or hundreds of dollars, as opposed to having LiDAR on a vehicle that typically was in the tens of thousands of dollars.
And speaking of cars, you had Honda, Toyota, LG, and other companies that were showcasing autonomous mobility solutions for the last mile. So this is one of the things that you and I were talking about quite a bit last year, is how, especially with some of these Asian auto manufacturers, they're looking at these utility droids as well as alternative mobility solutions that would leverage autonomous driving capabilities, if you will. And we're seeing autonomous really driving a lot of innovation in that field, where I think with the car itself, there's a lot of challenges. And so I think going forward, we'll probably see a lot of these autonomous technologies really make their way into the innovations that are happening into these robots as well as new mobility solutions. And we're also seeing robots take on a more human form and design. We're starting to see these digital companions move away from just being a little cylinder like an Echo or Apple HomePod into form factors that look like pets or like a human in some fashion. So bringing that whole human element, having these machines connect with people in a more human way, is something that we see continuing to evolve and is part of this trend.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, we're going to have more conversational AI with digital signage and electronic kiosks, where we'll see a humanoid face, even though it's not a real person, but we're going to feel as if they are humanoid, as if they are human, in fact. And they'll show even empathy and even emotions, right, facial expressions, as an example.
And the third takeaway that we have is the future of 5G media is VR plus AI plus the GPU plus the edge, and that's going to equal immersive media. This takeaway is derived from discussions with Intel and Fox, where they're talking about the next generation of media experiences in sporting events. And one of the things that we heard from them was this whole idea of volumetric media, where if you're in a stadium or you're in a concert event, you could have camera arrays as well as microphone arrays that could, in real time, take and render a volumetric representation of the event space or what's happening in that space. So let's say, for instance, a soccer match. What the viewer can do is they can position themselves wherever they want on the field and be able to experience that event in a very bespoke way. So if you want to be on the sidelines, you could be on the sidelines. If you want to be near the field goal up on the second row, you can place yourself there as long as you're with the region of rendering. But then also factor in 3D sound. And you combine all these things together, it creates a new media experience or a multimedia experience for consumers. And this is really, I think, a very exciting potential area that could drive significant demand for 5G, simply because the whole process of broadcasting this type of content would be extremely bandwidth intensive and processing intensive, right?
Yep, I agree. In fact, we're starting to see enhanced glasses that are performing mixed reality, where you can even have a contextual awareness of the landscape of where you're at. So based on that volumetric aspects that you mentioned, being able to augment that and then superimpose added information. Maybe it's added information about the match you're watching, or it's going to be other contextual information as you walk and roam. We've even seen audio AR in glasses giving you a Yelp review as you walk by a restaurant.
Okay, the fourth takeaway is too many consumer IoT devices and too many digital eyes, ears, and voices. And one of the things that we noticed this year versus last year is that there was a proliferation of connected, intelligent, and voice-enabled things. It seemed like everybody was trying to make everything smart. When you went to the Sands Expo, you saw new categories of electronic devices or connected, or if you want to call them consumer IoT devices, that you may have never seen before.
I agree. It was overwhelming, actually, to see all the startups, especially in Eureka Park, but then even established companies with talking toilets, for example. I mean, I could see a value in having a bidet and a toilet combined, and that's already well established in Japan and in Asia in general. But having selfie capabilities, I don't know about that.
Right. There is a growing need to be concerned about privacy. So you're talking about selfie on a toilet, but there are voices and ears everywhere, and privacy is going to become a very big issue. And of course, Apple was the passive participant at CES 2019. They put out a big billboard on the strip that said, everything that goes on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. I think that mantra is going to be very relevant next year. Let's move on to the fifth takeaway, which is the automobile is now a mobile data center and platform for distracted driving. Okay, one of the things that we observed this year is a growing number of functions within the car that are surfacing a tremendous amount of content, information, as well as functionality. And the automobile is becoming very heavily laden with compute power. And it's becoming literally a mobile data center where you have within the car a network of different components, different systems that need to talk to each other and need to also function in a secure environment and maybe even a privacy maintained and enforced environment. And so we're increasingly seeing a broad range of multimedia and connected car functions. And it almost seems like it's becoming an environment for distraction rather than one that fosters safe driving.
Exactly. In fact, the Harman Kardon device that we highlighted last year was basically an electronic kiosk that allowed you to pick and choose food items in a drive-thru. But we're also going to see engine diagnostics. We're even have infotainment, AR, VR, while you're driving. And then in the autonomous driving, we even had big screen TVs inside a moving platform for entertainment, but also for video conferencing. And we're going to see newer modalities of how we telecommute and commute at the same time.
Right. Thanks, Akshay. And then finally, privacy is under fast-growing threat and will need a solution very soon. And this goes back to what we mentioned earlier with too many consumer IoT devices, right? Everything is listening to you and there's eyes everywhere. So how do we deal with the privacy aspects of what we're seeing here in terms of the diversity of these connected and sensing devices? How do we ensure that these devices and the systems that they plug into are respectful of our privacy, but also are designed with our privacy in mind? And I think that's a really, really big concern that consumers will start to develop over the course of the next few years, especially with a lot of attention around GDPR and privacy protection regulations coming to the United States. Okay, so let's move on to our second agenda topic, which is Akshay and Leonard's top five picks of CES 2019. And so why don't we start off with you, Akshay, and your first pick here, which is Atmospheric Water Generator by WaterGen.
It was interesting, you know, going to the SANS Expo. First, there was Eureka Park, which was cool with the startups, but WaterGen was a little bit more of an established startup. I thought that was quite interesting to see a company that could literally produce water out of the air and has deployed in the Middle East, in Israel, in very dry desert-like climates, and do it in a cost-effective way. I mean, they even showed examples with solar power used to power this unit for a small town, but even a unit that could go in a vehicle for emergencies, and then even for home office use as well.
Yeah, it reminds me of Star Wars. I think Luke Skywalker was a moisture farmer, right? This would be like one of the things, the units that R2-D2 and 3PO would be talking to and repairing.
Exactly.
Okay, let's move on to your next pick, which is MicroSnap by Rhinespeed.
Yeah, this was cool. This was a vendor that ironically was in a system integrators booth with Luxoft, and Luxoft had done the software for Rhinespeed, and Rhinespeed showed a platform that looks like, you could say, like a skateboard chassis at the bottom, and then have modules that just plug and play on top, whether it's for in-vehicle type use of passengers to refrigerated or heated elements like food or pharmaceuticals that could be used and leveraged on the same platform. And so I thought that was pretty cool to have this modular type of concept being used.
Right. Okay, great. And your third pick is Nexus Air Taxi by Bell.
This was pretty impressive when we came into the booth. I mean, it was, first of all, pretty ginormous to see these drone-like mini helicopter wings at the top, and it's actually made by a helicopter manufacturer in Bell Helicopter, and they have functions for autonomous driving, but also they're in trials with Uber for an air taxi type concept. I think hopefully a new form of transportation coming our way in the future.
Your second pick is LifeLeaf by Life Plus.
We saw a lot of IoT sensors with all kinds of healthcare-oriented devices. In fact, today I just saw in the news, the Apple Watch just got cleared by the FDA for heart monitoring. And this is another example of monitoring, but this is non-invasively checking glucose levels, like a glucometer, but it uses light through the skin and through the spectrometry that they use, they can figure out your glucose levels pretty accurately. I thought this was pretty cool. They've got some patents behind them as well as FDA approvals for this too.
And then your number one pick is the Snapdragon 855 by Qualcomm.
Well, as you highlighted, you know, the notion of a GPU, CPU, and NPU all in the same device. And so here's an example of one. But it also has 5G, 2 gigabit per second speeds embedded in it. It has computer vision. And I think a new set of gaming solutions will result from this, new types of applications that we haven't even thought of yet.
Yeah, and I think one of the great things about the Snapdragon 855 is it really advances their ecosystem, especially from this perspective of gaming, and will bring about a generation of smartphones that are going to be able to play a newer breed of games that are going to be much more intensive in terms of their use of processing power, as well as the NPU that's integrated into the 855 chipset. So thanks, Akshay. Really appreciate that. Some great picks. Let's move on to my pick. So my number five pick is the LG OLED TVR. And this was prominently featured at the LG press event. This is a TV that leverages their flexible screen technology. There's been a lot of fanfare about this television, and it looks cool. But I think there's something very significant about this, especially for LG, especially when you think about screen technologies and smart televisions. LG's always been sort of behind Samsung. But this is an occasion where I think LG has really leapfrogged Samsung. Also, the Japanese television manufacturers and screen manufacturers, as well as the Chinese. And so I think they've really outdone themselves with this particular product. And I think there's going to be tremendous commercial applications that this technology and these rollable, flexible screens are going to have in industries such as hospitality, retail, and media and entertainment. So I think there's a great potential for this technology. And I think there's going to be a number of innovations that we're going to see next year that are based off of what LG was able to accomplish with this rollable TV.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, I think it could even be placed in new places in people's homes.
Right.
Right now, you're not going to put a TV blocking a window, but now you could, or a fireplace. And now by having this roll up and roll down, you could mix and match locations now.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. My fourth pick is Torok Liku, which is an autonomous robot that learns in very similar fashion to an AIBO. You basically teach it, it learns, starts off with some basic commands that it can respond to, like, will you dance, or can you look at me? Or the thing that I was most impressed about was how people reacted to it. The folks who were working the booths passing this doll around, and they were treating it like a baby. They had this human connection with this device, and they were taking selfies with it, and they were holding it like a child. And I thought that was really very telling. And so I think what we're going to see is more devices like this come out that go beyond the smart speaker. This is a whole exciting new area in electronics that we can anticipate going forward. My number three pick is TriEye Shortwave Infrared Imaging Sensor. Now, I bumped into this company in the Israeli section of Eureka Park. I thought it was interesting because when I initially saw this demonstration, I thought it was a thermal vision sensor. If you're familiar with the M1 tank, they have a thermal sight that are all weather sights. And that's what I thought they were using here. But what they're doing is using shortwave infrared, which is a subset of the infrared band. It covers the wavelengths ranging from 1.4 to 3 microns. One of the benefits of this wavelength is it's not visible to the human eyes, but it allows you to see through atmospheric conditions such as fog, rain, and smoke. And so this sensor technology and the algorithms that these folks at TriEye are using to enhance images in all weather conditions are going to be a huge boon for those folks that are building out these autonomous car systems and platforms. My number two pick is Leighton AR Lenses. I also bumped into this company in Eureka Park. And this is a South Korean company based in Seoul. And what they've done is they've developed a technology that applies a pinhole effect to tiny mirrors that are embedded in the eyeglass lens that you see here. And the benefit of this technology is that it provides better color expression and wider virtual screen field of vision, and allows the AR glasses to be built into devices that look like conventional glasses. So you don't have to deal with these complex mirror systems that you see in today's AR devices. You can literally have the optical system that basically is embedded in a lens versus some sort of assembly that's sitting at the corner of your glasses. I thought this is a very interesting company with a very compelling technology, and I'm sure that we'll start to see their lenses show up in AR systems in the next few years. And my first pick is Intel's Lakefield chip. Lakefield is one of the new Intel chips based on the 10 nanometer process that incorporates Intel's 3D packaging. And what this packaging technology allows for is multi-chip packaging that brings differentiated technologies together, and more importantly, memory closer to the processor. So the benefits of this packaging technology is that it allows for smaller form factor implementations, which I think is going to be great for a new class of ultra mobile and portable computers. And possibly it will bring about new computing devices and form factors while continuing to improve performance and energy efficiency. So for Intel, it advances them in terms of the type of devices that they can support and promote within their ecosystem. So that's my number one pick. And it's odd that Akshay, you and I pick processors for our number one picks this year.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of things are going to be embedded in silicon.
Right. And silicon's important, right? It's basically what makes all this stuff possible. So those are CES picks for 2019. Okay. And let's move on to our third topic, which are our predictions for 2020. And let's start off with our first prediction, which is emotion sensing technologies will lead to person-to-machine empathic design. And so, Akshay, you mentioned empathy, right? That these systems will become empathetic to their users. And I think we're going to see a lot of this start to be incorporated into the solutions vendors next year will be incorporated into their products and offerings.
No, I agree. In fact, we're starting to see even these voice units even having oohs and ums added to create this notion of conversational AI. We've seen even humanoid figures of people rolling the eyes up and just showing like more human emotion.
Exactly. And our second prediction is that smart TVs will strive to become OTT portals for the home. This is one of the things that we observed happening across the board with the Samsungs, the LGs, the Hisenses of the world. As you start to see content get disaggregated and siloed by OTT players, so for instance, with Netflix and NBC looking to pull The Office from Netflix, now you have siloing of content across these different OTT content aggregators or producers, if you will. Smart TV manufacturers seem to be taking cues from Apple, where Apple a couple of years ago came out with the TV app. We're seeing many of these smart TV manufacturers try to position their smart TV platforms as being that media portal. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this develops over the course of this year. It's something we're going to track very closely as part of our research agenda. But this is one of our predictions for 2020.
Although there could be a privacy issue here too. We'll see if the smart TVs will sell your viewing habits to ad brokers who then will put targeted ads based on what your behavior is.
Okay. And our third prediction is the autonomous and connected car will become 5G skinny. As more intelligence, more compute power gets embedded into these autonomous and connected cars, they're going to become increasingly network independent, or at least they're going to become very heavy clients that connect to a network with fewer dependencies on a centralized cloud service that orchestrates things. That's one of the things that we're going to see evolving as a trend through 2020.
Yeah, I agree. The idea of round trip delays, even though it's ultra low latency, there is still a latency going to the carrier and back. And so having more decision-making and autonomy within the automobile makes sense. However, there's still going to be some infotainment, entertainment, information, maybe some purchasing of things, traffic monitoring, and sharing of engine diagnostic information with the car manufacturer. And so there's still going to be some uploads and downloads through the 5G network. But that's not going to be mission critical.
Our fourth prediction is VR discussion will evolve into volumetric media, which we think could be the 5G killer media app. One of the things that carriers have been searching for is the killer 5G app. And the way we look at it, one potential candidate for that is volumetric media formats and production. This would be particularly geared toward live events, say a Manny Pacquiao fight or a Mayweather fight, being able to see it live or replay that event and be able to position yourselves at different points within that event space.
And then you add in XR or mixed reality with not only AR, but some VR, but then even see-through goggles where it feels like you're actually at the event itself and you could be at the event. And then you have some enhanced augmentation of what you're watching.
And finally, privacy will surface as a key factor in consumer IoT shakeout. So We mentioned before, there's this massive overload of new consumer IoT devices that are listening to you, they're talking to you, they're maybe even feeling you. And privacy is going to become more of a concern because it's going to be more tangible. And I think we're starting to see that today as we see reports of folks retrieving their information on the Alexa platform and getting someone else's records, right? So privacy being very, very important going forward in the foreseeable future as we continue to become more connected and machines and smart environments continue to monitor us and sense us.
Exactly. And especially from the note we published and the podcast we did on GDPR, this is going to become paramount where, as we've seen in Europe, fines can be very substantial if any personally identifiable information is shared in an insecure way. That's a violation. And so these things will have to be remedied in the IoT devices. And we've seen historically, IoT has had problems with cybersecurity, where Nest units have been hacked, where we've seen even video surveillance gear has been hacked. Even the Jeep in 2015 act. And so that definitely is a serious thing.
Okay, great. So Akshay, I wanted to thank you for participating on this call. Great fun being with you at CES and meeting with all those wonderful companies and attending all those insightful sessions. To be up to date on all the great stuff that we're doing at NextCurve, follow us on our website by subscribing. And the website is www.next-curve.com. You will be automatically notified when we publish and post new insights and research. And we are also on Twitter and YouTube. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel and friend us on Twitter to get live feeds and coverage of industry conferences that we attend and special NextCurve sessions such as this. And we're also on iTunes. We have a podcast channel that you can also subscribe to. And if you're interested in talking to NextCurve about how we can help you and your organization better position your products and services in an increasingly dynamic market landscape, please contact us. We offer a range of advisory services to help your team identify new market opportunities, ideate new products and service concepts, and develop winning go-to-market strategies. We offer a number of engagement options that can fit the needs of your organization, from custom research projects, executive workshops, to expert panels and inquiries. You can contact me, this is Leonard Lee, by email or phone for a scoping discussion to figure out how NextCurve can collaborate with you on your digital future. And so with that, Akshay, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone. Have a wonderful 2019, and we will do this again soon.
Yep. Thank you, Leonard.